Reverend Oprah Winfrey declares that all religions lead to the same God. Is that correct? She has $3 billion net worth. According to the Forbes magazine, she has TV stations, TV channel, and she has her own magazine. So she can influence millions of people with her charming personality. But can she, let me ask you this, can she buy her way into the truth? Truth stands no matter what. It doesn't matter even if you are the richest person in the world. Let's see what the Lord Jesus say about this, about salvation from the Bible. Let's stop and pray. Father, there are many voices for their own opinions. They all say that they are the one who is speaking the truth. But your word throughout the thousands of years have proven itself that it is truth. It is your voice. The reason people don't hear from you is because they choose not to hear. They choose not to know the way and the truth and the life of their eternal salvation. Because they reject you. They reject your son. Because of our pride. Father, you knew what you were getting when you saved us. Pitiful, selfish, depraved, sinful people. You reached out your merciful hand toward us. Through your grace in Jesus Christ, you saved. Father, we realize that we have nothing to offer to you other than surrendering our heart to you that you may set us free from the captivity of Satan. You set us free from bondage of sin and death, that we may have eternal life in you. Father, speak to us this morning that we may hear your truth, not man's opinion. Anoint our heart to understand your truth, and anoint the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word. Father, we are praying for the President Trump. It seems like all the medias in the United States and even around the world going against him because he's trying to do what is right. Father, we are asking you to protect him, and at the same time, don't let him do what is not in your ways, and asking your blessing upon him and all the leaders in this country. And we also pray for our uniformed personnel, our troops, soldiers, airmen, and marines, and sailors, and Coast Guard men and women, and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We also lift up the victims of the Hurricane Harvey and Irma. Father, please provide them what they need and restore what they have lost. We are asking your will be done and your name will be exalted. Pray this in Jesus. John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Jesus said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Fine, stop there, please. In these three verses, from verse 36 to 38, three verses, we find three things. First thing is a destiny question. Simon Peter asked him, where were you going? And Jesus answered, you cannot come. What Peter really wanted to know, what's going to happen to us? We left our lives, our livelihood, and followed you. What are we getting out of this? A lot of times, Christians have the same mindset. What are we going to get out of this Christianity? Okay, let me give you a quick answer. Escape from the damnation in hell. Would that be good? And to top it off, eternal life in heaven. Will you go through the difficult lives on earth? Yeah. This earth is owned by Satan. He will do anything, like Pastor Al mentioned, he will do anything to make your life miserable, more miserable than before, because now you belong to Christ. But your eternal destiny is a sick. Talk about ultimate fire insurance. Right? Second thing we find is loyalty declared. With an emphatic voice, Peter said, I will never deny you. I will die with you. Yeah. As I look around, many of you are Christian. So, if I ask you right now, right here, how many of you will die for Christ? Probably just about everybody will raise their hand. Even if you are not, you're not about to keep your hands down, right? Because everybody's raising their hand. It's the crowd mentality. But let me stop and ask you a different question. Would you die for Christ? Yes. But in that willingness to die for Christ is a very noble. However, are we willing to live for Him by following His command from the Bible? You're willing to die, wonderful. But are you willing to live for Christ? That's a different story. Would we really be loyal to Jesus, forsaking worldly and carnal things for the glory of God? Oh, now you're a little bit too close for comfort, right? You mean you have to give up something that you like to do for the sake of God because the Word of God says don't do that? Ooh, you're not liking so much, right? When some Christians are questioned about the truly living for Him, they say, well, I know I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this and don't do that, but I'm not perfect. We all know that we are not perfect. You all agree? And we all say, well, we are not perfect. I'm not perfect. But hiding behind that disguise, I'm not perfect excuse is totally lame. The Lord tells us not to be conformed to the world, but be transform ourselves by renewing our mind. Most of people who use the infamous I am not perfect excuse don't even try to transform themselves. They don't even try. Third thing I find is reality predicted. With a sharp edge of reality, Jesus put His finger on the pulse and made Peter's denial clearly known to him. We'll see that down the road. Go down to verse 1 of chapter 14, please. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. Put yourself in disciple sandals for a few minutes. Your Master and your Savior, Lord Jesus, just told you that He's going to be crucified. And He also said that there is a traitor amongst us. Let's say we are all disciples. And of course, then get this. Jesus told the biggest mouth in the crowd, Peter, that you are going to deny me three times. Talk about massive confusion and turmoil in the disciples' heart. This is too much for them to handle. Their hearts were like a little sailboat tossing back and forth in the raging sea. You know what Jesus is doing? He's reeling that tossing tiny boat into the safe harbor of His promise. Even though there was a good reason why their hearts were being troubled, Jesus tells His disciples to challenge their troubled heart with a faith in the Father and the Son. Listen to me, please. Every test of a wind that blows our way can either fill our sail with a faith in Jesus or break our mast from the strain of unbelief that comes from our heart. Did you get that? Either we can let that wind fill our the sail of our faith and let it go. Or we can try to hold that thing against us and eventually lose our mast. It strictly depends on our choice. Go down to verse 2, please. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If you're marking your Bible, I want you to mark number 1 before I go to prepare. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go to prepare a place for you, and put the number 2, I will come again and receive you to myself. That number 3, where I am, there you may be also. According to Jesus, heaven is a very real place. It's not the product of a religious imagination or result of a psyched up mentality. There are people who said, well, heaven and hell are not real. So live your life like a dog and die like a pig. Wow, what a great concept, wonderful way to live. Listen, heaven is the place where God dwells and where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father today. If you have a King James Version, or New King James Version, you find the word mansions. If you have a New American Standard Bible, it uses the word dwelling place, while the NIV, New International Version, or New Living Translation, uses the room. Which one is correct? They're all about the same. The Greek word for this is mane. And which means, actually, the literal translation is a dwelling place. Because the Latin Vulgate Bible renders it mansions, so King James and New King James use the same word. The point of Jesus' comment is not for us to expect a big mansion with the many luxurious rooms and the swimming pool and jacuzzi and all the other fancy stuff to get what goes well. How would you like to clean that big house? Forget the rooms. How would you like to wash the windows? Good. You know, rather, whatever dwelling place God has for us in heaven, it will be far more glorious than biggest, best mansion on earth. You cannot compare what we have with what we will have in heaven. Remember what I told you guys? Heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Hell is hell because Jesus is not there. Did you get that? Wherever Jesus is not there, you have no hope. You have no future. I asked you guys on put the 3 numbers in those 2 verses. They are the promises of Jesus for us. Promise number 1, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ himself is preparing place for all true believers. And each place will be beautiful. Do you know another good part of the going to heaven? In our own dwelling place? You don't have to pay for the mortgage. Or the rent. Hot ticket dog, right? Long ago, I happened to watch the TV program from Christian TV station. I no longer watch them because it's like a circus. Anyway, one particular lady was on that program. She's supposed to die temporarily. According to her story, she went to heaven. And she noticed there are a lot of constructions happening. And I thought, oh, great. I'm not saying she's lying, but I don't hold a whole lot of stock on that kind of afterlife story. The reason why I don't believe in the afterlife story is some of the people who, of course, she wrote a book, right? Like just about everybody. And I don't put my hope in that and believe that kind of thing. Because this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 3. I know, Apostle Paul speaking. This is the Apostle Paul. I know such a man, whether in the body or out of body, I do not know. He's speaking about himself. God knows, verse 4, how he was caught up into the paradise, that is heaven, and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. In other words, it was not proper for a man to describe what's happening in heaven. And I know some of you are thinking, what about the description about the heaven in Book of Revelation? Apostle John wrote it. He got the exclusive permission from God. He said, write this down. Okay. When God said write it down, you better write it down, right? Promise number two. Not three. Number two. I will come again and receive you to myself. This is a clear promise, folks, of our Lord Jesus' return for His people. Some will go to heaven through death. If we are here long enough, some of you will die. Actually, all of us will die. And we'll end up in heaven. But if the Lord chooses to come here right now to get us, the rapture, known as the rapture, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, He will take us home. And we will be changed like Christ and go to heaven. You may wonder if we are living in the end time. Yes, we are living in the end time right before the rapture. There's, as I said many times, there's not a one single prophecy need to be fulfilled before the rapture happens. In other words, it can happen any moment. Though we cannot know the date or time, according to Bible, Matthew chapter 24, 32 and 33, we will know the season. That's why we can tell rapture is very near. Just look at the world and what's happening. I strongly believe that we are getting awful close to the time of rapture. You know, I listened to this, the Kim Jong-un, that guy who has a serious mental problem. He actually, I don't know if he's self-hypnotizing himself or telling people lie. He thinks that he can destroy the United States. The last country they tried that got bombed with a nuclear bomb. You know, the world is not going to get any better. It'll come to the point only where that God will do anything is he said, okay, let's go get your people. And he will say that to his son. Even as Jesus prepared a place for us, listen, he prepared us for the place through the word of God. Did you get that? He's doing that right here, right now. He's speaking to you through this word. Promise number three, where I am, there you may be also. Jesus wants us to be in heaven with Him. He leaves the choice to us. Though we are all invited, only a small portion of the world population will accept that invitation, accept Jesus into their heart. There's no other way to get to heaven except one way. Verse 4, please, in chapter 14. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. I love Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how can we know the way? We have to give a credit to Thomas because he didn't get it, so he asked. I said this before, but you've been in a high school class, a junior high school class, or the elementary school, and the teacher explained all this physics. I flunked the physics and the math, didn't care about them. I aced out in the history. When he explained the physics and I didn't get it, but everybody else nodded their head, so I said, okay. Now I nod my head. Probably you did the same thing, right? When Jesus said that, his disciples, oh yeah, we get it. And Thomas is the only one who said, I don't get it. So he actually asked for all of us, not only for the 10 disciples, for us as well. Let's not pretend that we pretend to the Lord we got anything. When we don't know, ask. If you don't understand what you just read from the Bible, ask the best Bible teacher in the world, the Holy Spirit. He will be more than happy to explain to you through the context of the word, context of the verse you read, and the Bible dictionary, and the cross-reference verses, and the reliable commentaries, and pastors or teachers. If you send me in your bulletin, there's my email address. Change that to the, I don't know, it still is jk@ccos.org. If you ask me, I'll give it to you then, jk@tacticaldrawings.com. But if you cannot write it down, I'll give it to you later. Email me with your Bible question. I always answer. Is there anyone who asked me with a Bible question never been answered? No one. When you ask me with a Bible question, soon as I get it, I answer. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. And if you call me, I will answer my phone. My phone is on 24/7. You can call me anytime. If you need me, I'll be there. That's a promise. But if you call me just for a chit-chat in the 2 in the morning just to find out, I'll hang up on you. If you need me to be there because you are in trouble, I will talk to you. I will be there. I'll pray with you. Why do I do that? Because I'm your shepherd. God told me to do that. Now, go down to verse 6, please. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is that clear enough? Is that clear? According to the Newsweek, but there are people who don't think so. According to Newsweek and BeliefNet.com poll in 2005, it shows a shocking number of people who call themselves evangelical, born again, like you guys, have come to reject John 14:6, this verse. The question in the poll reads, can a good person who is not part of your religious faith go to heaven or attain salvation or not? What did you answer? No? He's a good person. Good person cannot go to heaven? Do you know who say yes to this? The most ordained, anointed person, they say. He's Joel Osteen. Has the biggest church in the United States. He said, good people go to heaven. What the? You just lie through your teeth. Get this, guys. 1,004 adults, 18 years old of age, were surveyed, and 68% of evangelical Christian believes good people of other faith can also go to heaven. Nationally, 79% of all those who surveyed said the same thing. And a stunning 91% of Catholic people said yes. Did you notice their article? Go back to the verse 6. I am, what's the next word? The article, the way. And then, the truth. And the life. The article is the, not a. It is exclusive, not one of many. It means that Jesus is the only way of salvation from God and there is absolutely no plan B. Do I make that clear? As you live, if you die on the spot and you think that you are going to make your way to heaven because you're a good person, you cannot put the blame on me. If you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart, and you're thinking that somehow you will make your way to heaven because you are a dandy person, I guarantee you will go to hell, according to this word. There is a popular notion, it's been around for some now, known as universalism. The idea of universalism is that everyone, no matter who they are and no matter what they believe, will eventually be saved. One of the doctrines of universalism is a universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man, which means that God is the father of all humanity. This is what they believe. And we are all one another's brothers and sisters. It might be lovely for them to think so, but it is completely wrong and for born-again believers to think that. If you believe that Bible is absolutely true, moreover, if you just believe that red words of the Jesus is true, you cannot and you should not agree with the universalism. And people say, well, nobody in Calvary Chapel believed that. Really? There is one famous pastor in Oregon. His son, who was born in his family and raised under the tutelage of his father, instead believed this universalism. Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapel, his son, Chuck Smith Jr., is far from the Christianity. He believes in universalism. He believes in the emergent church garbage. He's apostate. Some might say, hey, preacher, why do you have to be such a narrow-minded? And you keep this up, you'll never have a church big as a Joel Osteen. You know what? No, thank you. I'm not called to have a big church. But I'm called to speak the truth, proclaim the truth. And I don't care if I'm not popular. But the Word of God says that for the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine. And they will heap up the teachers who will tickle their itching ears. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Jesus does not simply teach the way or point the way. Rather, He tells us that He is the way. He is the only way to the Father in heaven. Not through religion, not through ritual, and not good works, not living right without Jesus for that matter. Some people love rituals. You know, some churches you go in and you do these things and then you kneel down and stand up, you say particular things, all that stuff. Does that make you go to heaven? If ritual make you to go to heaven, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why didn't He just simply told us to, hey, kneel down and do all the circles, then you go to heaven? Like no other religion around the world, the Bible proved itself to be true, accurate in every way. The God of the Bible, Jesus declared that He is the Lord and He is the only way of salvation. Don't say Jesus is a good person or a good teacher or a good prophet, because if what he claimed is not true, he's not a good teacher, he's not a good prophet, he's not a good person because he lied. You get that? Either you have to believe in him as the Bible says, or you reject him. There's nothing in between. I'm going to tell you a true story. Now all of a sudden everybody's awake, right? We love stories, right? Carl McKern, he's a 35 years old, 6 feet 2 inches tall, weighing 240 pounds with a curly reddish blonde hair. And he has a great outgoing personality. This is a true story. Though he was from Texas, you know, foreign country, he moved up to the Alaska because he loved the outdoor. In mid-1970, Carl McKern got a job in Trans-Alaska Pipeline, driving big trucks back and forth in the Alaska coal country. He made good money and good friends. In 1979, he decided that he would spend 5 months alone and take photos in the wilderness of Alaska. He hired a bush pilot to fly him over, climbed to the interior near the Nameless Lake in Nameless Valley, about 225 miles northeast of Fairbanks. He spent about a year to gather up the supplies for the journey. Those who were around him remembered how thorough he was. He was checking, double-checking, triple-checking everything, nitty-gritty details. With the 500 rolls of film, photography equipment, firearms, and 1,400 pounds of provision, he had a plan to stay there through from March to the mid-August. Finally, March 1981, a spring day, Carl McCann flew out over the Brooks Range, and was dropped off near the lake where he set up his tent and began 5 months solitary excitement. He waved his hand to the pilot, bush pilot, who wiggled his wings and flew off. I can tell you this. During the summertime, there's no place in the world like Alaska. The saturated color from the nature screams and boasts their beauty in the absolute tranquility and serenity. I cannot describe to you. I'm an artist, and some of you guys know that I'm an artist. I cannot draw the way God paints the scenery. It's beyond any human capability. Colors, it's just, even if you're colorblind, you will see the colors. However, Carl McCann had one oversight in his preparation. He forgot to arrange someone to come pick him up before the cold weather of the Alaska interior started. He didn't realize his oversight until August came. He was too remotely separated from any civilization. Remember, I told you he was in northeast 225 miles from the Fairbanks. Traveling 225 miles by foot with his supplies, it will take many, many days if he can make it. And staying there would be practically suicidal. So he hoped and prayed like a crazy man. He prayed that some of his friends would remember him. With the September snow and the shorter days come, he wrote in his diary, he said, "I think I should have used more foresight about arranging my departure." How do I know? Because it's written in his diary. They found it. His food and fuel supplies were running very low. With a below 0 degree weather starting in October, his body fat was starting to be metabolized and couldn't sleep through the night because of the extreme cold temperature. By November, McCann was completely out of food. Your reaction to this true story is probably the same as mine. How can anyone make such a colossal mistake? And another question. How can someone make a plan every day except for the final day? Another question. How can someone plan and follow through every detail of one's life except the most important detail of his life? As we think about the Carl McCann's tragedy, we must come to a conclusion that the vast majority of the world population don't think about their final exit strategy. You knew I was going to come to this, right? They live the life. They plan everything. They plan their life. They plan career. They plan their marriage. And they plan their home building. Wonderful. And they plan vacation. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. When we become this age, we're going to do this. And then they said, when I retire, we're going to buy an RV, travel around. But what about the last day? Live like a dog and die like a pig? Is that your plan? And you're thinking, oh, hopefully somebody will big guy upstairs. I don't know why you call them big men upstairs. Will have a mercy on me, have a pity on me to take me in. Pastor Al and I were having a lunch at this famous restaurant. And in Tucson, it's a famous restaurant, well-known restaurant. The owner said, God owes me to take me to heaven. Really? He doesn't owe a thing to us. We owe him everything. Do you hear me? The very breath you have, the very heartbeat you have right now is a permission permitted by him. If he says, no, you ain't, your heart stops. Your lung doesn't move. Guess what? It doesn't matter how good you are. You're drop dead right there. So let me ask you this. How is your final access strategy? Jesus is the only way. Like Carl McCann, many just hope that somehow he will be rescued. According to Amos chapter 4, verse 12, it says, prepare to meet your God. Are you ready? If you die right now, would you meet your Creator? And would you be in heaven? Not by your standard, by this standard. If not, you will be like Carl McCann, no hope. Listen, heaven is a prepared place for the prepared people through Jesus Christ. Amen? Two applications. Number one, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. With him, we would never be lost. Number two, even as Jesus prepared a place for us in heaven, he prepared us on earth for that place through the Word of God. Amen?